Amen. All right. So last week, I launched into a new series that I titled Finding Joy. Finding Joy. Has anybody found joy, by the way, since last week? A little bit. We got a few hands up. There's some people finding joy. Right. One of our elders, Jim Berry. Jim was just telling me the other day, it was about a week ago, we were having an elders meeting. And he says, you know what? I've just decided I'm just going to be happy all the time, basically. And I'm just going to have fun. I'm just going to enjoy life. And I think sometimes it is just that simple. We just have to decide to just how we're going to live life and grab hold of joy and happiness no matter what's going on around us and just do it, right? I don't know. I just thought about that. You were smiling just now once again, Jim. And sometimes it drives me crazy that you can smile all the time. But may we learn from our brother here. Why are we talking about joy, finding joy? What's up with this whole thing of joy? Because I want more joy, so I'm going to preach on it. Because you remember this. Now, when I'm preaching, I'm not preaching at anybody or to anybody. It's just me bringing the word that God has for us as a church, and most of it's always for me. I get to process it all week long and then some. And so I want some joy, and I don't want to get ripped off any longer from all that God has for me. I'm his child. I'm his son. And one of the things that he has for me is this amazing thing called joy. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to be ours. If we are baptized and we're walking filled with the Spirit of the living God, then joy is one of the fruits that we should be enjoying every single day. So, y'all want to keep joining me on this journey? Yes. Ready to keep going into joy? Let's find some more joy. We're in the book of Philippians. Last week, we went through the first 11 verses of the book, and we found that there is joy in being connected. There is joy in connectivity. Doing biblical Christian life together, we find joy. Remember, Paul was just filled with joy, praying with joy. At the same time, he's talking about how much he appreciates being able to do life with this church in Philippi. There is joy in being connected to God and being connected with one another. And so if you're lacking joy, if you're missing out on joy, look around. Have you kind of isolated yourself? Are you doing too much life on your own, apart from brothers and sisters in Christ, like intentional Christian living? Intentional Christian living. There is joy in that. You know, I've been able to start going back to the men's Bible studies on Tuesday mornings once again. Guys, if you're there, I probably won't be there every week, but I'm going to be there often like I have been the last couple weeks. And I'm going to tell you, just getting back there with those crazy guys talking about the Word of God, we're in the book of Acts on Tuesday mornings, it just brings joy. It starts the day off with joy. Why? Because I'm hanging out with brothers in the Lord. We're talking about God. We're praying for one another. We're putting up with one another. We're encouraging one another. And there's joy in doing life that way. And God designed it that way. Today, we're going to continue our journey. I've titled today's message, Opportunity Knocks. Opportunity Knocks. So play along with me here. Okay, ready? Knock, knock.
There.
Opportunity. Well, turn with me to Philippians 1, verse 12, and let's find out. That took all week to figure that one out. All right, Philippians 1, verse 12. You all pay me big money for that kind of stuff right there. You know what I'm saying? Just right there, that's it. Philippians 1, 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now, what has just happened to the Apostle Paul? He got thrown in prison. The Apostle Paul gets taken off of the circuit of bringing the gospel to all these communities, right? And he gets thrown into prison, and he says, actually, what has just happened to me? The new circumstances of my life right now, being in prison is actually not such a bad thing because it's advancing the gospel. So the first thing that we got to grab hold of as we're continuing just line by line, letting scripture just open up our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our spirits, is that bad stuff can actually be a God-sized opportunity. And I bet you there's some people in this room who've lived that out, where bad stuff has turned out to be a God-sized opportunity. This past year has flipped our worlds upside down, right? We talked about it last week. I mean, a year ago, everybody was panicking because they wanted more toilet paper. I mean, that right there can just, again, paints the picture of how weird this world really is. Anyway, things have been crazy. There's been concern as a result of just the craziness of this past year. But I want to say, in the midst of all the craziness and in some cases bad stuff that's happened over the past 12, 13, 14 months now, opportunity is still knocking. Opportunity is knocking. Opportunity for revival. Opportunity for revival. It's here right now, I believe. Opportunity for the church to kind of once again be salt and light in our world. Instead of letting the loudest voices in our world be all of the nonsense and the craziness and the evil, the church has an opportunity to once again step into that role of being the salt and the light. We have opportunity to transform our culture with the gospel right now. Our culture's, it's grasping for anything right now. Anything right now. And we don't just have anything. I mean, we got Jesus. We got the gospel. We got the good news. We got hope. We got the answers. We got truth, right? There's opportunity knocking right now for the church. Opportunity's knocking for us to show love in a world that, man, it's harder and harder to find love. You can find criticism. It's everywhere. Division, hopelessness, and nastiness, and calling names, and all this other kind of stuff, right? We have the opportunity to bring heaven, to bring Jesus, to bring love. We also have the opportunity to show this world what real power looks like. And that's the grace of Jesus, the power of God that can rock everyone's world in a good way. In a good way. So opportunities knocking. What do we need to do as a church? I think we need to refocus a little bit. We need to reassemble. And we need to reengage. Because I don't want to miss anything that God has. Verse 13, let's keep going here in scripture. As a result, in other words, because the gospel is advancing, even though the circumstances of the great apostle Paul is that he's in prison, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Not because he ran a red light. Not because he was just, you know, did something stupid, right? Or illegal. Well, it was illegal, I guess, what he was doing, but he's in chains because of Christ. He's in the circumstances he's in, yes, even in prison because of Christ. Paul recognized that. Wait a minute, if I'm doing something for Jesus, then bad stuff shouldn't happen. People should treat me right. I should have favor everywhere I go. Doors opening. Yeah, in this case, the prison door opened for Paul to be put in. You know what I'm saying? Stop judging everything based on the way the world looks at success and favor. I want favor from one place and one person. From God. From God. So it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ, verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters, this is weird now. Because of my chains, because I'm in prison because of preaching Jesus, the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You know what? We know that we're on the right track with the Lord. We know we're in the right place with God, that instead of walking in fear when bad things are happening, we walk in faith. Instead of running and hiding when the heat gets turned up, we actually show up all the more. And that's what's going on right here. I mean, I think it's beautiful. I think there's an evidence right here that the early church, man, it wasn't just kind of like, let's just, if it's doing something for me, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to raise my hand and I say, you know, no, it was much deeper than that. Even when their leader is in prison because of Christ, they're not running away in fear. They're getting emboldened because of faith. Because of faith. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter, meaning those who are doing it for the right reasons, do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Then Paul says this, but what does it matter? Who cares? Who cares? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or from true and pure motives, Christ is preached. And because Christ is being preached, I rejoice. I rejoice. I don't care if I agree with everything each person's saying or their style or this and that. Jesus is being preached. People are hearing the name of Jesus. The gospel is going out. And because the gospel is being preached and going out, Paul says, I rejoice. So point number one, joy is found in the gospel. Joy is found in the gospel. We all know what the gospel means, right? It means good news. So if you can't find joy in the good news, then where can you find joy? Joy is found in the gospel. Again, verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. The gospel of Jesus brings a lot of joy. Has it brought joy in your life? Have you heard the gospel? Have you received the gospel? Have you said yes to the gospel, which is saying yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you? Yeah, that brings a whole lot of joy. It's a life changer. It releases all that other baggage and stuff. I mean, we're born again. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I mean, the good news of Jesus. He makes all things new. Doesn't matter how messed up we are. Jesus. Joy is found in the gospel. But in this case, Paul's joy comes not because only he's received joy from the gospel personally, but Paul now has another level, kind of a next level of joy that he's experiencing because he is understanding and hearing that others now are receiving what he has received. So he's full of joy because others are receiving something that's bringing them joy and changing their lives. Joy is found in the gospel. There's some words of Jesus recorded in Acts 20, verse 35, where Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. I mean, when you look at the life of Paul, for instance, he did a whole lot of giving. Now, he received a whole lot. It's kind of dramatic. Remember, he's thrown off the horse and all that kind of stuff, goes blind. I mean, it's like he gets pummeled. It took a lot to get his attention. Sometimes it takes, I'm praise God, it's never taken that to get my attention, but sometimes it takes a little bit, right? Paul's excited that other people are receiving what he's received. Paul's got a new joy knowing that others are getting what he has. You know, we just celebrated how our Bible translation projects that we're doing are advancing. We've done two now. The first one's pretty far along. It's the Biso region. The last one that we just talked about a few weeks ago, the people group, It's about 500,000 people or so. I think it's somewhere like that, the number, that are now receiving the good news, the gospel, in their heart language. And I hope that we find joy in that. I mean, that gives me joy, knowing that there are a people group that for generations have not had what we have, but now they are receiving the gospel, the good news. They're receiving the news of Jesus in their heart language to receive it, to be able to respond to it, to be able to enjoy what we get to enjoy in Christ Jesus. But we can and we should be sharing this good news, not just with a Bible project every other year or so, but this is something that we are called to be sharing like Paul was doing and like the other believers were doing, even as Paul's in prison for it. We should be doing this on a regular basis with others all around us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. How will they know unless they hear? How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? Who's going to tell them? All of us. All of us. We can't leave it up to YouTube. You know what I'm saying? It's us. We live in a world filled with lies, and people need truth. How many of you know there's a lot of lies out there? A lot of people are being deceived. We have truth. It's called the gospel. There are a lot of people out there that are filled with despair. They need hope. I know where you find hope. In the gospel, in the good news of Jesus. Nowhere else. Everything else is fake, man. It's fake. Not going to last. Not going to do the job. The gospel of Jesus will. In a world filled with loneliness, people want to belong. And what they were created to belong to isn't just some club. They're created to belong to the family of God. Fearfully and wonderfully made to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. People need the gospel to belong. In a world that's going to hell, people need Jesus. Let's just be straight up frank about it. People need Jesus. So opportunity's knocking. And when we answer that knock, we walk through that door and we share the gospel. Not only are others going to find joy, but our joy is going to go to a whole nother level because it is better to give than to receive. Test it out this week. Seriously, test it out this week. You're like, man, that's scary. Yeah, so what? Life is scary, right? All right, it's not you anyway that's going to do anything. You don't change anybody, but the gospel does. Jesus changes people. You don't have to have it all figured out. You know what the Lord told me years ago, just be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. You know what, if you do that, I would love to hear some testimonies next week of people that maybe haven't shared the gospel in a while, but take me up on this and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to somebody, open up an opportunity, which He will, if you ask for it. He's going to open up this opportunity for you to share Jesus with somebody this week. And I would imagine that when I see you here next week, that you're going to walk up to me and say, Pastor, it's true. Joy is found in the gospel. And I experienced joy by sharing the gospel with somebody else this week. It was awesome. It was like a rush of adrenaline, and I want more of it. And that's what will happen as we start doing this. Because joy is found in the gospel, receiving it and sharing it. Let's go back. Scripture, Philippians 1, verse 18. So again, Paul from prison. He's in prison. He's not sitting in a comfy seat right now in Gilbert, Arizona, you know, all that with the air conditioning on. He's in prison, and he's writing these things from a prison cell. He says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Even right here, right now, I will continue to be filled with joy, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So Paul's saying that he appreciates the fact that he has provision because of prayers and because the Holy Spirit of Christ is with him, is leading him, is guiding him. He's not on this journey of life all alone. He's Spirit-filled. He knows that God has made his temple, his dwelling within him. And he's not anywhere just by accident, because he's being led by the Holy Spirit. And because of this, because he's being led by the Holy Spirit, no matter where he is, he can have joy, because he knows that he's where the Spirit of the living God wants him, and he knows he's not alone. And he knows that when God is present, anything is possible. So he's still in prison, filled with joy. How does this happen? I eagerly expect, verse 20, and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So we talked about this, the message titled Opportunity Knocks, right? Well, here are two opportunities right here. One of two choices. One of two things is going to happen in Paul's life right now. He's either going to live or he's going to die. And I'm just thinking about this right now. You know what? Every one of us has that same possibility right now. We're either going to live, we're going to wake up tomorrow, or we're not going to wake up tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? His was a very real situation, because he might get murdered because he's preaching Jesus to people. So it doesn't matter the opportunity. He still finds joy in whatever is about to happen in his life. Either way, right? For me to live is Christ, he says, and to die is gain. Either way, I win. Can we get there in our lives? Come on, church, can we get to that place? Whatever the option is that we're looking at right now, can we get to that place where we're like, either way, I win. I win. It doesn't matter. You can take it away. You can pour it on. It can be a good day, a bad day, rainy, cloudy, sunny. It does. Either way, I win. Because it's not about any of that stuff. It's not about the circumstances. It's not about the situations, even to the point. It's not about whether I lose my job or I get promoted. I win. In fact, I've already won. I've already won. Either way, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, one way that we can always know that we win is when we remind ourselves of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He's on the throne. He is God. Our lives are hidden in Him. Nobody can create a circumstance in my life that's going to rob me from what God has already given me. They can't do it. They can't take it. You can't take that from me, right? You can't. Why? Because God has done it and He's sovereign. Either way, I win. I've already won. And Paul was able to rejoice and be filled with joy in a prison cell with a potential of being murdered, doing nothing wrong, just preaching Jesus, trying to love on people and care for them and get them healed and all this kind of stuff, right? He can rejoice because God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Verse 22, if I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And like Paul, that should be with us, right? If we wake up tomorrow, it should mean that we're going to have some fruitful labor. We're going to produce some good fruit for the Lord. Because if God gives me more breath, it's going to be used to glorify Him. If God gives me another day, it's going to be used to advance Jesus and to share Jesus with other people. And we got to remember something, because often I think what we get into is this thing, well, Paul, he just spent all of his time preaching and everything. You know what? Paul also made tents sometimes. He had to travel, and when you travel back then, you're just walking on the road. He had to sit down in a restaurant or somebody's house and eat and all this kind of stuff. He didn't just stand on the corner. We can all live this kind of life. Every breath, every day that God gives us, we can live it this way, bearing much fruit. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. You ever get to that point, by the way? I love reading the Bible because I just kind of process it. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that way too often. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I guess I'm going to go to church because I'm the pastor. So I'll be there this morning. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to choose. I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on my account. Amen. So point number two, we've already kind of looked at it for a little bit there. Joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's not. When was the last time you threw a party because someone was mistreating you? Right, you didn't do it. Yet Paul is being mistreated, and it's like you read his writings, it's like he's having a party. I'm full of joy. This is awesome. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Either way, I win. Woo! Come on now, right? What's up with that? He's being mistreated. But his joy is not dependent upon his circumstances. And I'm going to tell you what, I understand it's easier to preach this than to grab hold of it and live it every moment of every day. But this is ours. This is what God has for us, a joy that is not dependent upon our circumstances. Right now, I'm having to fight to find joy and to keep joy in my own life right now. Having to fight for it. I'm still in the battle. I'm still leaning into Jesus. I don't have it all figured out. Every day is a new day. And I feel like I got to, once again, grab hold of that which Christ Jesus has grabbed hold of for me. And that's peace and hope and joy in the midst of a situation with my wife's health. We're going to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary in June. So I kind of like this girl. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. I kind of like her. You know what I mean? I really do. I'm kind of fond of this woman. And she's hurting. And she's not doing well. And she's there's been a couple situations over the past couple months that have been very concerning. And so that's not really, doesn't really breed joy. You know what I'm saying? It's not a natural joy dispenser. I don't know. Plus, this past year has been a tough year. It's been hard on a lot of people. It's been hard to lead a church through this past year and then all the craziness and changes and all that. But here's the deal. God is helping me right now. He's helping me right now. And I need his help. Let me tell you how he's helping me. He's waking me up at 3 and 4 in the morning. And you're like, how in the world is that helping you? It's not getting any sleep. I know. I've asked God that same question. You know what I'm saying? But he's waking me up to the point of, I just got to get out of bed. And I find myself in my backyard all by myself. It's dark outside. It's pretty quiet. I get to look up. I see stars in the sky. And I just get to spend time with God. I get to be in his presence all alone. Nothing else on the agenda. Nothing else. No appointments coming up. Nobody texting me. Nobody pulling at me. None of that kind of stuff. No responsibilities. I'm just with God. All alone. And I get to just be myself with him. Share my heart where I'm at. Ask the questions. And I just get to listen. And hear. And receive. He redefines my thinking and my circumstances when I spend time with him. He gets my thinking back in the right place. I'm reminded how big he is, how much bigger he is than all the stuff that's going on in my life right now. He's so much bigger, and he's so good. And I get peace, and I get joy because I've been with him, and I've heard from him. So here's my encouragement. When opportunity knocks to be with God, answer. I don't care if it's at 3 a.m. Might be. Answer. But I'm going to be tired. So what? You just spent time with the Lord, the living God. He'll give you rest. I can fall asleep in 15 seconds now, man. That's one thing you get when you get older, man. You just will fall asleep like that. God will figure it out. But when the opportunity to be with him knocks, answer. Point number three, we got to rush through these last ones a little quickly because I have an announcement to make. Point number three, joy is found in representing Jesus. So if we look closely here, we discover that Paul finds joy in all circumstances because Paul is always representing Jesus. Do we see that about Paul's life? He's always representing Jesus. He's not about himself. He's not looking out for number one, himself, right? Paul is always about representing Jesus. Even when he gets mocked, even when he gets, you know, left for dead, thrown out of cities, he's just representing Jesus, this guy that's full of joy in prison. Joy is found in representing Jesus. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Joy is found in representing Jesus. You know, I think we get a lot of our joy robbed because we're too concerned about representing ourselves and defending ourselves. Let's just turn it. Get it off ourselves here. Let's get it on Jesus. Let's represent him. There's joy in that. I want to finish up chapter 1, verse 27 here. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved in that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Ooh, I don't like that. Get over it. All right, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And now we get to point four. And it's very similar to the point that we had last week, and that is joy is found in being together. Joy is found in being together. Joy is found in doing this life together. Joy is found in the body of Christ, in being part of the church, part of God's people, not just theoretically, not just by name only. Sharing Jesus together, worshiping together, praying together, ministering together, laughing together, crying together, eating together. Together.